Fabrice, let me just kick things off by saying congratulations on the HD remaster of Calvair.
Thank you. It's been a long time, you know?
Yeah. It has been a long time, but it's a great film. Calvair translates to the ordeal, and it is quite an ordeal that happens in this film. Just to kind of kick things off, what was the light bulb moment, the big switch in your head that gave you the idea to, I know you're a co-writer on it, but the inspiration for the plot of this movie?
Well, you know, I was on my way to make to become a filmmaker. So I made some short films at the time, and I was pushing hard to make a first feature. Just like all filmmaker try to do, and a first feature it always happens once. So I tried to find something to tell, and we had that idea about, you know, playing with some elements that kind of American film, horror film that we love, of course, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Deliverance, and we tried to play with those elements, but I think with a kind of a very European way European view, I mean. So, and then we work and we had that idea about a man, you know, can be a kind of a substitute to a very strong community of men. So, and we rewrote the script, and then we tried to finance the film. That was a big issue. But finally, we succeeded, and we made the film in a few weeks. And when we finished the film, shooting the film, a few weeks after, my producer showed the film to the Critics Week at Cannes, and they won the film for Cannes. So It went very slow in the first part and then very fast in the second part. Yeah, it's been a while now for me.
Yeah, well, this film hit at what is called the height of French extremism cinema. Does that mean anything to you as an artist to be part of a movement of films that were coming out at the time?
No, because it means nothing to me, and I'm sorry to say that, because French extreme doesn't exist. It's something that American critics invent piece per piece. I know a lot of French film director. You probably think about being part of that film extreme, but label, I mean, we are very different. We are friends, but we made some very different. What I can tell, it's at the time, early 2000, I think there is a singular voice who emerged. That's true. In France, Belgium, Spain, there is different film director who emerged with a very, very strong point of view, and also under the influence of great Japanese cinema or American cinema, and even European cinema, and try to find their own voice. But I never considered myself to be part of a movement, you know, and I think Pascal Laugier, Gaspard Noé, or Xavier Jeans, or others, film director, never thought about that either. You know, neither. I think that's American.
Critics. Yeah. No, I got you. Let's dive into the nitty gritty of the movie a little bit. Just kind of going back, if you can recall, and I'm sure you can. What are some of the directorial notes you gave to these actors to help? Help them craft such unsettling moments on screen.
I'm sorry, Tyler, but I didn't give anything to the actor. I pick them, I choose them, and then we try to work in a very in a very intense way. I know Laurent, I knew Laurent because he reacts very strongly to the script and he wants it to be part of the film. At the time, he made a very famous French film, Harry, Un ami qui vous fait du bien, by Dominic Moll. It was a very big hit in France. So it was quite famous. He accepted to play in Calvaire, the lead, and I was so delighted and very happy about that. And I picked Jackie Berroyer, you know, to play Bartel, because I knew him from television and Canal Plus at the time. And we made some rehearsal together, so some read through, and I plan to design the film, to storyboard the film, and we pick location and we made some rehearsal together, and they knew probably that I wanted to flirt with the limit, you know, of the grotesque and the horror and the comedy also, because I always thought that Calvaire is a black comedy. You know, and I don't want to compare, of course, but for me, it takes us Chainsaw Massacre. It's a black comedy too. You can laugh to it,
yeah,
you know, a lot. So I wanted to make something a little bit with a sense of grotesque and poetical and extreme in a way, you know, because the concept is extreme, you know. A man who find another man as his disappeared wife, you know, and then the community of men, you know, it's just like there is some comic elements into it.
Interesting. I want to talk about just the cinematography a little bit, because one of the standout shots in the film, a personal favorite of mine, was that high angle looking down at all that craziness going on. What was just some of the motivation behind the cinematography of the movie?
Well, you know, Benoît Deby was the cinematographer at the time of Calvaire, and he made Irreversible by Gaspar Noé a few years before. And Benoît, I started with Benoît. I made a short film, Wonderful Love, with Benoît a few years later. And based on the short film that Gaspar Noé saw, he hired Benoît to make Irreversible just before we did Calvaire. So Benoît at the time and I were very close, and we decided when we planned, we thought a lot about Calvaire, and I wanted to make something a little bit more with a different perspective, you know. It slides from realism, you know, for hyperrealism to expressionism in a way. So, you know, it's a movement. You slip into a kind of expressionism, and I'm still impressed by Taxi Driver, for example. I remember watching again Taxi Driver and watching the end of the film, the red, you know, and the movement at the end when Travis kills everybody in the brothel. So, I had that click, you know, to say, yeah, maybe we can do the rape scene in Calvaire in one shot with a crane and in a, just like a Jerome Bosch painting, you know, to give a perspective of, you know, everything is mixed up, you know, men, animals, you know, everything is at the same level. And when we had that idea, we said, wow, that could be great, but we didn't have the money to make that. So it was a balance to find, you know, at the beginning of the film to save money, to spare, you know, to be able to make that shot at the end. And, you know, it's early 2000 and we didn't have a VFX just like we have now. So we have to coordinate all the movement 360, you know, with the crane. We had that we had the pork, you know, the big sanglier, you know, I don't know how you say that, the big pork, and we had also the calf. We have all the men and the blood and the donation. It was insane. It was completely insane. But I enjoy, and also we had only a half day to make it because we didn't have the money to make it longer. You know, so it was insane. It was insane. Yeah.
I just want to talk about you real quick and your craft and everything and inspirations you have. What themes and subject matters interest you as a filmmaker?
Everything. Well, everything you know interests me. I'm interested by everything, at least when there is a point of view. You know, before to be a filmmaker, I'm a cinephile, very compulsive cinephile. So I'm obsessed with the idea of cinema. So I'm obsessed with the idea of the cinema from others directors. So I have a very intense cinephile work. You know, I talk to a film director. I have a show in Belgium and France, and I have a podcast. I have a, you know, it's very intense for me. But so I'm interested to any kind of stuff. As a filmmaker, I try to own my own. And I try to build my own voice. You know, I made some mistakes once in a while. You know, because it's a business, and sometimes you have to take some risk. And I made a film in the United States. I made it in Los Angeles. I mean, I made a film in Paris with a very strong company at the time, and it was a 2020 through nightmare. But I realized that I'm not a director to hire. You know, I tried to build my own space and my own voice. So, you know, now I'm 50, I try to be more focused of what I have to do and try to improve, you know, try.
I personally think you've had a handful of other great films released in the past decade. But I wanted to ask you, what are your favorite films that have kind of come out over the past 10 years?
About my films or the
just like other films that you've kind of enjoyed in the past decade or so?
That's a very strong, very difficult. You should ask me that by email. I would think about that because there is so many great films, you know, and there is so many great voices that I love so much. Of course, there is it's an industry. You have a lot of different film, but I'm very curious about filmmakers. What can I say about the last decade? I can change my mind very easily. So I'm very curious. I don't know what to answer. I'm sorry, Tyler.
Okay, if you want to email me a list down the road, you'd be my guest. Well. In terms of Calvert, though, kind of the same question. Which films and directors influenced you as a filmmaker with that film, per se?
Oh, well,
you mentioned Chainsaw and stuff, but if there were any other ones.
No, but Tobey Hooper and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, it's the beginning of a kind of a vocation, because I was raised in boarding school, you know, Catholic environment, I am very well educated. You know, I was a very small kid putting in boarding school in a very strict environment. And I was obsessed with cinema, you know, at the time. When I was a boy and kid, and it was the VHS, you know, time. And I was allowed during the weekend to rent a lot of video cassette, you know, at the time, and I was watching a lot of exploitation film, Italians, UK, American, of course. And one day I discovered Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Something, you know, something happened. My life completely changed. My perception changed. And a few years later, I discovered, you know, Bill Friedkin with The Exorcist, also something that's, you know. And of course, I rediscover Sam Raimi with Evil Dead, and and you know, it gives you the impression that it could be a life passion. You could embrace that life. And so I became really obsessed with the idea of cinema. But you know, just like every film director of Cinefy, you do some list and you make some connection between film director and you know, at the time I was younger, but I remember trying to finance the film, and it was so difficult. And I remember one day I discovered Luis Buñuel, and Buñuel brings me also to something very, very sensitive, because I'm not sure that I would be able to do Calvaire just the way it is now without have the knowledge of Luis Buñuel as a filmmaker, you know. So there is many film directors that I cherish at the time, and I still cherish, just Sam Peckinpah, you know, Serge Leroy in France. You know, there is, and also what is great about you know, for example, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it's just like an arborescence, you know. You put a straw, and then you discover a forest, you know. And you know that when you heard that Texas Chainsaw Massacre is based from the Ed Gein, Wisconsin story, then you realize that Alfred Hitchcock based Psycho on that too. So you discover after Alfred Hitchcock, and then you say, "Well, my God, what is it?" And then you dig Alfred Hitchcock, and then you discover the greatness of his art, and then you can go further and further in painting, literature, you know, and there is, it's growing all the time. It's just like a wide endless forest, you know. So I don't want to close my name, you know. It's still in progress, but at the time I have to say I was very focused on those guys, you know, John Borman impressed me a lot, of course, because Deliverance, I was very under influence, Peckinpah, that I still love deeply. I was deeply in love by early Scorsese film. I never saw something, a so intense energy on film, you know, and still now, look at Mean Street today, you know what, you know, it's so in the energy, is so intense, and you know, so all that. But also Belgian director, just like André Delvaux, you know, was very big influence on me at the time. So there is many, you know.
I got you. Last question here. Horror oftentimes is putting up a mirror to society. What, if any, message do you have for audiences? What, if any, message do you hope for audiences to get from Calvaire when they see this remaster? They have never seen it before.
And that's, you know, I don't know about that. You know, the film is the film. I really hope they will enjoy the film. They're gonna be shocked in a way or another, but I don't have to deliver a message, you know. I'm not a postman. I don't give a fuck about message. I try to, just like a painter, I try, I don't say I succeed, but I try to let the print, you know. What the big stuff for me, it's when the audience leave the audience. I hope that they will stay, they will have still an image of the film 1 week after and more if possible. But I never consider, I love entertaining, you know. I can watch many different films, but what I do like the best is when I go to a movie theater and to be shocked, surprised, and that's what I try to do, you know, to to put the audience in a strange corner. So I don't want to sound too much intellectual about message and stuff like that. You know, the film doesn't own me now. You know, it's been almost 20 years. The film, I'm so happy that the film has a new start now, you know, because of Yellow Veil, and I'm so happy about that. It makes me so happy. You cannot imagine how happy I am about that, but I don't have a message.